Moshe, to Shechter, and all of the Sibor to say a few words of quick introduction. I had the zchus of knowing our speaker for probably about 20 years or so, and our speaker is known in the world of business as Mr. Tzvi Reisman, where he functions very effectively in that world, but he's known in the real world as a Rabbi Tzvi Reisman, because he's very much a teacher of Torah. He's very much a supporter of Torah. And it's hard nowadays to find Sfarim that they're not acknowledging him in some way for the help that he has brought about in publishing them, and whether we're talking about individual Sfarim or whether we're talking about Sfarim that have a much broader reach than any one individual Sefer. Yesterday there was a tremendous celebration in Art Scroll for the completion of the Reisman Mishnayos, which go all around the world. And if anybody uses, assume everybody uses HebrewBooks.org, and you can access Sfarim, tens of thousands, and we're up to 60-something thousand Sfarim all over the world. You can access anywhere, thanks to the sponsorship of Rabbi Reisman, or Tzvika as he's known. But it's not only the Sfarim that he makes possible, but he is the author of many, many Sfarim, more by the year. Sefer Ratz Kitzvi has come out now in so many volumes, together with a shiurim that he gives in person. I know in his hometown of Los Angeles, I've had the privilege of being able to attend a number of times. And the Sfarim deal with so many fascinating topics. Just now, a brand new Sefer of halachic discussions. I'm sorry I didn't see earlier, just got a chance to open up last night. So he has discussions about sugyas, about basar b'chalav that we're holding in shir. So I just asked my shir assistant to send out the link, because now, because HebrewBooks.org, all the Sfarim are there, so you can find it all. So we sent out the link to discussion about basar b'chalav and chemical testing to all the guys that can learn more about that sugya that we spoke about a few weeks ago. And it's a tremendous opportunity to learn from somebody who's able to bring together all of these worlds and support Torah in such an effective way. So we have so much to learn from him as Bnei Yeshiva, as those who are holding and learning and holding in sugyas. But we also have so much to learn, not only from the tochen of the shir today, which I'm sure will be very fascinating, but also from the model, and also from what he shows us is possible. I remember a member of Reb Tzvika's extended family said to me once that Reb Tzvika is an inspiration for all of the Balabatim. And I said, it's true, but it's also a challenge for all of the Rabbanim, for all of us who are full-time in Harbatzas HaTorah. Halavai, we should be able to come close to being able to be Marvitz anywhere near as much Torah as Reb Tzvika does to the whole world all around. And it's a tremendous privilege to finally, after much efforts, to be able to host him here at the yeshiva to hear shir about a very pressing, very important current topic about issues related to the coronavirus.
Thank you very much, Rav Feldman. Thank you, Rav Shechter, Rav Goldbricht, my mechutna, Rav Goldbricht. It's a schus to give a shir here, a place where my son, two of my sons, learned in this yeshiva. One of them is down here, Eli. And I was wondering why you have good Rosh Yeshivas, great Rosh Yeshivas, special people. Who was Rit Dich? Why do they call me? Probably they call me because I'm a businessman, not because of Rosh Yeshiva. And I try to combine it for a reason. As a matter of fact, if you look at my shir, that's the dafim that I give out. And all of my dafim in the back are papers from the business. Everything is combination of business. Esek HaTorah is Esek HaBusiness. It's the same thing. You don't have it because I asked the yeshiva to copy. But you can see, every page has a gemara here and a business in the back. And that these are the tafim I use. I know that some of them think, oh, you have to separate. I think the combination is very good. And probably, and that's why people call me to give a shir. You have better shir with me in this yeshiva. At the same time, I want to say, my shir are an active shir, interactive shir. I would like you to disagree with me. While I say, you can stop me in the middle, there's no problem whatsoever. I would love you to stop and disagree with me and ask me the questions. Hopefully I'll be able to answer. And I have now three big Rosh Yeshivas that can help me to respond to you. So I hopefully they will do that at the same time. 2 weeks ago, I got a call from someone. Do me a favor, speak about something that is happening right then and there, the coronavirus. Coronavirus? What can I speak about? So I decided to give a shiur. I gave the first shiur on this very subject last Thursday. I spoke around 20 pages out of 84. So let's see if with you guys I'll be able to continue to do more than it, but we'll see. Coronavirus actually was predicted by a doctor in China a couple months ago. The doctor died a few weeks ago. The rumor is that 40,000 people were cremated in China. They burned the people. People should not know what's happening. Can you imagine so many people, they're afraid. China is today the supporter of the United States in merchandise. My factory, I'm selling eyelashes made in China. I'm selling many products made in China. Pack them in China. Ships stop coming. It's amazing how we are dependent on China. Now it went into Japan, went to Thailand, already found in Israel, some of them. Really need to think, what's happening in the world? So somebody found a source in the Torah. And maybe there is a source in the Torah for Corona, or there is no source in the Torah, I'm not so sure. But what are the ramifications to us? People ask me, what can you speak about? So the question was, the Israeli council was in China, and he was asked to leave. The plane, the only plane yet, he wasn't sick. In the town, they were in that very town, Beijing, there were not too many people who are sick in that sickness. Yet. He was asked to leave. He had a plane to leave. He could leave only on Shabbos. Is he allowed to leave on Shabbos or not? The same time, the same Shabbos, a doctor in Los Angeles, a home doctor, was asked to come to China. And he was supposed to leave the plane. There were not too many planes because many flights were canceled. So he was supposed to leave on Friday, arrived there on Shabbos. He knew that he arrived on Shabbos. Is he allowed to leave on Shabbos? Why not? Lechor is pikuach nefesh. It's not pikuach nefesh for him. It's pikuach nefesh atidi. It's a future pikuach nefesh. Is pikuach nefesh atidi considered pikuach nefesh? That's one of the subjects we're going to learn. But there are other questions. The doctor said, I don't want to go. I'm a doctor, too. I swore that I have to heal every person. Am I mechuyev to go? Am I not mechuyev to go? Do you know, if you see in the airports now, not only in the airports, on the trains, you see pictures, and that many of the people are wearing masks, medical masks. There are not enough masks in the world to support all the people in China, all the people in the world that want to wear a mask. You go here in Los Angeles, you see many people walking the street with masks today. Who do we give the mask to? The sick people? Children? The Gemara Novios, the Mishnah Novios? Do we give the Kohanim first? Levim? Noshim? Who gets it? In Los Angeles, there's one factory, actually it's not in California, it's not in Los Angeles, one factory that produces those glasses to cover, those cover for glasses for those people that need to wear when they're sick. A Jew owns it, and a full Jew. Is he allowed to work on Shabbos? With this factory? Is this factory working on Shabbos? Is he allowed to? He's not allowed. The person that was sick came to Beijing and went to shul. There were, in the minyan at that time, Chabad, the first Shabbos, there was Koma minyan. Usually they have hundreds of people in shul. One person came sick. What is he? Is he a mazik? Is he a roidev to others? If he is a mazik, what is it? Shen? Regel? Esh? What kind of a mazik is he? Can I hear from you first? Not yet. Okay. I'll ask you one. He didn't tell anybody he's sick. Is he mechuyev to say he's sick? The doctor has to say that he's sick or not. Does he have to tell anyone? Does he have to tell him about himself? Can you imagine how many shilas, basic shilas for sickness? I was yesterday visiting Rabbi Tendler, Moshe Tendler, so he asked me, do you know anything about corona? I said, I have no clue what it is, what it does. He right away got into the medical issue. How can you speak about corona virus if you don't know about the sickness itself? I speak about the halachic issue. But you can see that halacha applies to every phase in life. It is amazing. At the beginning, when I looked at the coronavirus, what can I speak about? I just gave you 7, 8 issues. So let's start and let's see. I'm limited till what time?
5:30.
I was yesterday in Borough Park. In Borough Park, they started davening Milche. But it was already dark. And that's the square, see, davening light. So the shkia is also not a limit yet. It's certain people. Even get down there too. So let's see what's happening. Let's open page number 2. I just gave you a few of the shilas. Page number 2, I took a paper, published a paper of Tzayin B'Shvat, which is last week Tuesday. In Yated Ne'eman, one of the fun papers in Eretz Yisrael, Mevuah beposkim ki minyati pashtut magefa begeder pikuach nefesh. It's pikuach nefesh. Uposhu shegem b'machala nigremet mekorona, yesh ta'asot lekol min... And it should be here. Okay. That's the one I have. By the way, the factory is here if you want... Okay, that's the story of the factory. Goggle makers, I got it from the newspaper, that's I got the factory. Goggle makers ramp up, help fight virus. It's a factory, they're working now on Shabbos to produce, a Jewish person, his factory is working on Shabbos to produce those goggles for China. In one order, he got $2 million worth of order. All year long, he doesn't get so many orders. He had inventory. He was lucky. He was stuck with $2 million worth of inventory. In one day, he got it from China and got the money. And producing now 7 days a week. It's 7-Eleven. That's what it is right now. Can you imagine? So you can see how aloha and business are really combined, if we know to combine it. If we think aloha, we get business. And by the way, and I can say whatever what I'm saying to younger kids when I speak to younger kids, and I really should say before I started this year, I'm a businessman. The success in my business, I feel, I hope, and I know, and I really believe in it, is because I sit and learn. The Torah gave me the power, the strengths, the real strengths, to be as what they call a successful businessman. I'm not so sure if I'm so successful. But whoever thinks I'm successful, it's only because of the Torah. What I learned in yeshivas before, I learned in Tel Aviv, in Yerushalayim, and wherever. Whatever you learn, this gives you the cheshek to succeed in whatever you do. To succeed through all the challenges. So if you're going to be a rov, a lawyer, a professor, whatever you're going to be, you learn Torah, you'll be successful. Because you know to look up, to succeed in what you do. That's what you learn from Torah. So let's start now. So you see right now, the page number 2, they call it Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh, is it real Pikuach Nefesh or it's not Pikuach Nefesh? In 1918, there used to be, they call it Magifata Cholera. I don't know how to translate it.
The cholera.
And Rabbi Yisroel Salanter on Yom Kippur, and I'm going to read, Rav Unterman brings it here in the Sefer, in Shevet Yehuda, that Rabbi Yisroel Salanter stood on Yom Kippur at the Bima and decided to eat in front of everybody in Shul, because those who didn't eat were afraid to be received the infection and be, God forbid, sick and die.
And Reb Shloimeh Lake Cohen, who was a dayan in Vilna, he disagreed with him. So if you look at page number 3, the Rav Unterman explained, "Achayu nigel arinu dati lomar ki datam shel rabbanei Vilna, echa shasakana eina lefaneinu." Due to the fact that the cholera was there, the sickness was there, the infection was there, but they did not know the virus was there, but they did not know, they didn't have it then and there. Yom Kippur, are you allowed to eat? If it is a pikuach nefesh, you're allowed to. But it's not yet a pikuach nefesh. It is not lefaneinu. That's what they held. Rabbi Sol Salanta held, it is considered lefaneinu, or maybe it's not lefaneinu, but still I'm allowed to eat. Where is the machloket lefaneinu, not lefaneinu? Machloket is, actually, first of all, let's see the Gemara. The Gemara is in Maseres Yuma and Yom Kippurim. The Gemara tells you when minayin pikuach nefesh. The Gemara learns from various places. However, if you look in page number six, Daf Pei Gimel, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Omar Rav Matya ben Charash, Achoshesh begroino metilin lo sam betor pi b'shabes, mipnei shu sofek nefoshes. Every time, Sveika Doraisa Lechumra, the only place that we say Sveika Doraisa Lekula is Sofek Nefoshes. By the way, the Briskerov says it's not Sofek Nefoshes Lekula, it is also Sofek Nefoshes Lechumra, because we have to eat. If we don't eat, we are not alive. That's why he calls it Lechumra. But Gemara calls it Sofek Nefoshes Lekula, and therefore it's Sofek Nefoshes Lekula. Lechora, maybe I'm going to be infected by the sickness, am I allowed to eat right now? Oh no. You are allowed to eat at that very minute. If you have a pikuach nefoshes right that very minute, I'm the pikuach nefoshes, is only in the future, maybe I'm not allowed to eat. And the Rambam passes, again, in page number 7, the Rambam passes, Sofek shiutzor lechalel alav et ha-shabes, Sofek sheino tzorich, v'im amar roife lechalel alav et ha-shabes, ורופא אחר אמר, אינו צורך, מחלים את השבס, שסופק נפושת דרכס השבס. And the same time, שולחן אור says the same thing, if you look in the last line of שולחן אור, ויש מי שאומר שאין צורך, דחול בני אודם חושי מומחים קצת, וסופק נפושת להגיד. So there is no question, סופק נפושת, you are making, and you are allowed to eat. But סופק נפושת, only לפנינו. But סופק נפושת, it's going to be in the future. How do you know it's right? By the way, what will be נפקא מינה? נפקא מינה, I thought, maybe there will be, if you have to go nefesh. Aloche is, again, machloke is, but aloche is that you don't have to eat kishir, only muberet. In pikuach nefesh, you can eat as much as you want in one shot. So the pikuach nefesh, maybe you have to eat poch mishiurin. Muberes, poch mishiurin. But pikuach nefesh, they say that again, Arab Zevin, Muadim, Baloche brings that will be enough communion. So what is the fanein, not the fanein? The first one that this happened, the issue of Sofek Pikuach Nefesh was when I was a sick person that they wanted to make an autopsy and they wanted to learn about the body. It was at the time of the Noidi Biuda, it was 150 years ago, 200 years ago, and they did not know too much about the body, and they figured he was sick in a certain sickness. We want to find out the source of the sickness. Are we allowed to study, to learn, to have an autopsy for the future when we need to learn the sickness? Says the Noidi Biuda and the Chassam Sofer, no, you're not allowed to. Pikuach Nefesh is only lefaneinu, but something that may be in the future, you are not allowed to cut whatsoever. That's what he is saying. But what is Sofek Pikuach Nefesh? If you look at page number 11, Shlomo Zalman came up with an idea what Pikuach Nefesh is. Mitzad Asvora Nigdeinu Dati, second line, the whole Shederech Bnei Odom Livroach Mizeh כבורח מפני הסוכן, חושב כסוף הפיתוח נפש. Is the doctor or not the doctor, the Israeli counselor who is living right now, China, is running away? Is he running away? Are all the people that can or may or available, can, possible, leave China running away, are they considered they're afraid from this sickness? Yes, they are. Therefore, it is considered pekuach nefesh. But he says the Loshen, Rov bnei Odom livroach. What is Rov bnei Odom? Is Rov bnei Odom 51%? Rov bnei Odom 50-50? Rov bnei Odom, you have a car driving to the West Bank. I need to go and visit, I'm a doctor. I'm going to visit somebody in the West Bank, I'm on call. Sometimes the Arabs are shooting, throwing stones. Am I mechuyev to go? Is it pikuach nefesh? Can the ambulance go? Should it go? What is statistically, what is rov? 50%, 20%? Can I hear from you? You don't? No clue? Okay. Says Silberstein that 5% is not pikuach nefesh. But Sofet pikuach nefesh. If it's 5%, you have to go. So I was thinking 51% is pikuach nefesh. 20% will be pikuach nefesh. What will be statistically? Rabbi Osher Weiss says, and I'll let you in a second. Rabbi Osher Weiss says, in the Torah there is no statistic. Now, Rabbi Leibovitz, go ahead.
It sounds like from Rosh Hashanah that he's not talking about that there's a statistical measure. It's just how people perceive it. People perceive it as dangerous enough.
Rov bnei Odom, what's the Rov is Rov is Shishim. Shishim, you know.
Doesn't mean Rov bnei Odom are going to die from it. It means Rov bnei Odom are scared. So it's not about statistically how dangerous it is statistically. It's about how people.
But Rov bnei Odom, so don't we measure also how many people are scared? Okay. In polls we know, we can also measure. In polls we measure what how many people are going to vote for Trump or not for Trump. So it's also, we don't know. Scared is the same feeling. My feeling is to vote for someone. My feeling is, I'm scared, I'm not scared. Is that what it is? I'm not so sure. I think the statistic. What I want to show you something interesting before I go into the statistics. If you turn to page number 24, I will go into a case of Shabbos. It used to be in Beit Vagan in Yerushalayim. You know, in Israel, the electric wires, not like in Los Angeles and new cities, the electric wires are underground. In Los Angeles, in Israel, the electric wires are on on poles. And what happened one day, the electric wire fell down. And Shabbos in the morning, do we call the electric company or we don't call the electric company? Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, in page number 24, you guys have it? Yeah? Page number 24. Shmir Shabbos Kilchoso, in Simel Kabet, Chutei Chashmal Shenaflu Barechol, V'yesh Chashash Sheiga Bahem Adam, Mutar Lazik Et Chevrat HaChashmal, are you allowed to call the electric company, Al Menat Lafzik Et HaZerem, Ve'en Chiyuv Meikar Adin La'amot Sham B'meshach Kol HaShabbat Kedei La'tov Bnei Adam. Could be a person, it was 8 o'clock in the morning, before they go to shul, many people are going to pass on Rechov HaPisgah, rather than call the company, maybe somebody should stand over there and wait till Motzei Shabbos. Says the Shmir Shabbat Kichasa, it's Reb Shlomo Zalman's word, Shamati Reb Shlomo Zalman, that you're allowed to do it. Where is the basic on that? Because there's a Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara in Shabbos in page number 23, page before, the Gemara says, Mechabim Gachelet Shel Matechet Bereshus Arabim. If you find some sort of Gachelet, of wood, or it's not wood, Gachelet, flame made of metal, you're allowed to do it Bershus HaRabim. Why? Says the Rabbeinu Nisim, because Nizka de Rabim Kesakonos Nefoshes Chashiv Alein. Is it considered Sakonos Nefoshes, Nezek HaRabim, and that's why, and it's only Sofek now, Lichora. But because of that, you are allowed to do it in spite of the fact that the Sofek is only, maybe something will happen. And therefore, Shmira Shabbos Keichoso is matir clearly to call Chevat HaChashmal to use a telephone, make a Jew come in a car, because they come from far away, to buy Dvagan, and at that time correct or fix the electric wire. That's how we pass in Halacha. This was the first Shmir Shabbos Kirchoso that was Rabbi Neubert printed years ago. His sons, Rabbi Neubert's sons, now came up with a new Shmir Shabbos Kirchoso. And this is on page number 25. Says he, Chutei Hashmal Shenafru Barachov, it says, here, Siman Kafalev, חוטי חשמל שנפלו ברחוב ויש חשש שיגע בהם אדם, מותר להזיק חברת החשמל להפסיק את הזרם. ואין חיוב מדל דדים לעמוד שם במשך כל השבת יודות אקטו סטיילר כדי לטעות בבני אדם לבל יגעו בחוטים ויבואו לי לסכון. And then, ומכל מקום, המחמיר לעמוד שם, טוב על הברוכו. This is an addition. But look at the footnote at the bottom. The footnote at the bottom, he brings it. מה שהעירה רב שלום זלמן במלך השלוימן, that's what the first הלוכה of שביל השבל כחוסו, על כל פנים יש לחלק. Says, I disagree with רב שלום זלמן. Why? ובקיבוי הגחלת, הוא ממש מסיר את התקלה שמזיק לרבים. What happened? Over there you have the flame, you're going to take the flame and put it up to distinguish the flame. מה שכן אחר, שעל ידי הטלפון הוא מעביר ומחבא אש כמה פעמים, you're going to, using the telephone, you're doing איסור עבור a few times, וזה רק הזמנה לפועלים שיבואו לתקן. He's not doing anything to the fire itself. He's calling the workers, את חברת החשמל, את electric company to come. אשר להצעתו, לצערנו, הם חשודים לעשות מלוכות שמצד הדין הם אסורות. They might be driving a car, they do other things, who knows what. ובפרט שאותם העובדים יכולים לעמוד שם כל השבת ולהזיר. Those workers, they shouldn't correct or shouldn't clear the electric wires. They should stand there and do nothing. ולא לעשות שם מלאכה, וכיוון שכן, also the talpan, you're not allowed to call, וחייב לעמוד בעצמו ולשמו. He has to stand up. That's what he says here. The kids of Rav Neubert, they say not in the name of the Rav Shlomo Zalman. Yesh lechalek against Rav Shlomo Zalman. Let's see what Rav Shlomo Zalman said. Shlomo Zalman tells a story in page number 24. The story is told by the Rosh Yeshiva of Shivas Chevron, Rav Moshe Mordechai Farbstein. It's printed in Asia. Was a soldier that was working in the intelligence department of the army, and he was working in the computer department, and he was reading the codes from the Arab countries. And there was something in a code from the Arab countries, was a code from an Arab, a very close Arab, let's assume it's the Iran, and there was another country, let's assume from Libya. Libya was a far country, and he had two codes to open. He had to open the code from Iran. There's no question about it that he felt it's Pikuach Nefesh. But to open the code from Iran, from Libya, he says, I'm not so sure. We don't have a problem with India. As a matter of fact, it wasn't India, it was Uganda. It was a hard memory, not Africa. Libya is also Africa, but let's assume it was Uganda. Uganda, we don't have a deal with it. Once in a while, Netanyahu, the prime minister, goes to Uganda. We remember what happened in Uganda, but it was Uganda. Do I have to open it on Shabbos or not? He went to ask Moshe Mordechai Farbstein, took the soldier, and they went both to Rav Shlomo Zalman on Shabbos. And let's see the mice. I want to read it together with you. השואל היה בחור ששירת בצבא בחיל המודיעין. He was in the intelligence department. שם הצליחו לעלות, they were successful, על רשת תקשורת של מדינה עוינת, ולפענח את הצופן שלה. Think Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is helping us to do it on Shabbos, because he wants us to check, do we think about Shabbos or not? Oh, the boy sitting in the computer, think about it. He's sitting in the computer, a frum boy, probably learned the yeshiva, knows the halachas, definitely knows the halachas, and he right now, he has the code of one country, another country. Shall I open it or not open it? Am I going to be mechalel, Shabbos is utra, or Shabbos is tchuya? I don't hear you. I don't know why you don't talk to me. But it's okay. I talk to you. I lose my throat. And you don't want to talk to me. But listen. Anyway. תפקידו של החייל, the job of the soldier היה לעסוק בפינוח הצופן באמצעות מחשב. So a computer he had to go and find out what is this code. הפינוח היה כמובן כרוך בחילול שבס. It was a חילול שבס. טענתו למפקדיו הייתה, he went to his officers and told them, "Beshabbat, birtzono lefaneach rak chelek mashadarim." He's willing to open those code from, let's assume, from Iran. Eilu shelerato kayemet svirut gvoa, statistica, makes a lot of chance that those I need to open. Shehem nogim l'Israel, because it has to do with Israeli security. Israeli security, you are allowed to be mechal Shabbos. Aval shadar, שהסבירות שהוא קשור לישראל לנמוכה, this is probably, the chances are that Uganda doesn't care about so much Israel. They have something. But they care. Libya cares about Israel. Yes, they have oil. Uganda, who knows what they have over there. But still, it's very weak connection to Israel. He felt, the soldier himself felt, שהם נוגעים, שהם כגון שדה לאחת ממדינות אפריקה, ברצונו להניחו, he wants to keep it aside, ולפענחו רק במוצאי שבת. It's only 8 hours to מוצאי שבת. Can't I wait till מוצאי שבת? מפקדיו טענו, the officer say, no, שאומנם הם סומכים על שיקול דעתו, statistically he is correct. However, אבל רק אשר מבוסס על מידע עובדתי. Now, only if he knows from fact what's happening. כלומר, כלומר, הפינוח בשבת חייב להיות מלא. אך ההחלטה מן השדרים חייב להעבירה בשבת לתנועה בידו. He has to open it right now. Does he? He's right. Don't give it to us now. To do it. Give it to us. You don't have to give it to us. I try to make it similar. They have to call the electric company. But tell them to come out here. I don't think that if you come out here, maybe you should come, but you stand and stand and do nothing. Let's see. Nigashnu yachdav, he said together, L'Rav Shlomo Zalman, L'Shol L'Chavad Dato. Went to ask him what to do. Upasach. Ki ha-chayav chayav lefaneach et kol ha-shadarim. Everything. Benimuk. Me'anyen v'chashuv ba'agdarat sofek pikuach nefesh. He's going to give us a new definition, what is considered sofek pikuach nefesh. You said what you feel, I say statistic, let's see what is right. למרות שאין כל הבדל בהלכה בין פיקוח נפש של יוחיד ושל רבים, ואף על סופק פיקוח נפש של יוחיד מחל עם שבס, בכל זאת, יש הבדל גדול ביניהם ברמת הסיכון הנחשבת פיקוח נפש. It's not only statistics. It's not only סבירות. כי תכן סכנת סיכון שאצל יוחיד לא תחשב פיקוח נפש. ואילו אצל ציבור, אכן תחשב פיקוח נפש. There is a big difference between a יוחיד and a ציבור. And a ציבור, maybe even 1%. Maybe 2%. Maybe no percent. It's ציבור, you have to go and save. Who knows? Maybe it was raining that day in Beit Vagan. The electric company didn't have to come because nobody would walk to shul. It was snowing, maybe. It's Sibu. Sibu, you have to look. Any Sofe Pikuach Nefesh is something else. That's Sofe Pikuach Nefesh. Yochid? Maybe I have to look at 51%. Or maybe Rov. I don't know what Rov is. I'm the Aloche. Rosher Weiss told me, or said it at the time, he says, there's no statistic in Aloche. So what is Rov? There's no statistic. That's Rov. Because how can you check? You're not going to check if there are 6 million Jews living in Israel today, the 3 million and one is the Rov. majority. That's what the Skarim are all about. That's what the polls are all about, I think. I don't know any other to call. I feel that Reb Shloimeh Zalman said that anything for a tzibur, you do much more than you do for a yochid. Now, the Noidi B'Yuda, yeah, go ahead.
Just coming back to the whole discussion of the chiluk between the fonim and not the fonim, with something like a virus, it's also a question, I don't know if it's the fonim. Maybe it's, within this case of gacheles or electric wires, I know what I have, and maybe someone's going to complain. But here with the virus, I don't know who has, the whole thing is, I don't know who has the virus. You can't see, you can't tell. So how can we even say that maybe it's the, that's the whole point, I don't know. It's
that's very true, but gacheles is ash. If gacheles is ash, even you see the ash at one place, the ash flies, goes, runs, spreads all over. So what is the fanenu for ash?
Right. But here, for all I know, it could be the fanenu. That's why I...
Depends if he's... If you put people in seclusion, it's not a fanenu. The question is, it's in the air? If the person, if you know that... A person A comes to a shul and you know he is infected already, that's the faneinu. Otherwise, everything is not a faneinu. And that's what I think. Let's understand, let's analyze the Noidi B'Yuda. The Noidi B'Yuda said the faneinu. He came up with the Agdor faneinu. What is the faneinu? The faneinu means, at the time, 200 years ago, if the sick person wasn't here, two, they wanted to study. But there are no sickness that I know around the world. And therefore, if there was a sickness at the time, and he was in Prague, in Paris, or in America, America was in another world, it was in another world. Is today, because the world is so open, and everything that I do here, in Los Angeles, in New York, in 1 minute I know it, through the social media, or through television, or through radio, is everything the faneinu? I can take that particular heart, that the guy died from, and he's not a faneinu, and it's going to be in 24 hours in Tel Aviv, or it's going to be 24 hours in China. Is it a faneinu? Everything is a faneinu. The definition of faneinu is also changing. The truth of the matter, Reb Moshe, there was a famous question that the doctors are allowed to leave, the machloek between Reb Shloimeh Zalman and Reb Moshe, where the doctors are allowed to leave. I don't know, is going to medical school here eventually. Allowed to leave, going to heal somebody, are they allowed to go back home? So one of the reasons that we are saying we're allowed to go back home, otherwise they wouldn't go to begin with. On the other hand, there's the faneinu somewhere. He's not called yet, but it's the faneinu. The definition of faneinu, I think, changes, and therefore, I don't want to say to study. The Noidi B'Yuda was talking about studying. You're not allowed to study another to send the part of the body to another city, to another place, because it's not the faneinu. But today, everything is the faneinu, besides studying. Go ahead.
Saying the faneinu means that even if you did the autopsy, you don't know if you're going to find any, you don't know if the research is going to have anything. It's not for sure that the research is going to produce.
I can promise you there is somebody who wants a heart. Today, they're so connected, all those banks, eye bank, heart bank, sperm bank, everything is connected. You can put it, I have a heart available in New York, who wants it? I have a student of mine who I thought he's going to die the next day. I went to visit him. Listen up. He had a heart from India, flown to Los Angeles, and today he sits and learns. He's already, how many years? Three, four years?
Seven, 8 years.
So, how did they find it? It's a world bank. There's one thing, it's so to speak, if United Nations is a bad organization, for that world, for that part, it is not bad. Now the question is to give it to a Jew, not to a Jew, I'm not going to get into that aloha, I'm not familiar with this aloha. But the question is, there's no more refaneinu. I think it's a big chiddush to say that. It's dangerous, but it's a fact. the fact in Israel, it's very easy. We say it's a milchoma. It's a milchoma. The milchoma, all the laws of pikuach nefesh, so to speak, say the milchas chinuch, don't exist. Rav Israeli says machshirin. It's a kind of machshirin. Machshirin pikuach nefesh also is mutar. Yeah, posuk ridata. The old chukei milchama have changed so much that you can do whatever you want. But I'm not talking about milchama. What is milchama? And I'm going to answer your question. Was a friend of mine who passed away, Israel, Rav Israel Rosen. Rav Israel Rosen said, we have today a milchama in the United Nations. Friday night, there was a pigua, and the Syrians brought to the United Nations the case in front of the Social and the Security Council. And so they had to show pictures. They came out. They came to him and asked him, are you allowed to send the pictures to the United Nations on Friday night? And he said, what is milchoma? Today, we're not, tanks are going to be disappearing. The milchoma is cyber milchoma. It's a new war. Is it a new war? He said, tikshoret, communication is also milchoma. Are we mechuyev to send pictures on Shabbos to the world to show that we are not at fault? Yes or no? That was the question he asked. He says, milchama tikshortit. Is it milchoma? At the time, Chazal called milchoma, was to go with guns, nuzi, a tank, a missile. Today, it's all different. It's through computers. The milchoma is through computers. Computer is not necessarily to kill. There is another milchoma of communication. Is that considered milchoma? What is yeshiva? He was claiming that you're allowed to do it. He said you're allowed to do it. So he got a lot of, in Eretz Yisrael, he got a lot of Rishayonim, that he allowed to do that. But today's world, so almost what I'm going to be Mechadash, if I'm allowed to be Mechadash, that the idea of Lefaneinu has changed. We have to check in the Lefaneinu, what's the Lefaneinu? To the Yochid, stays all the same. There's no question about it. With Yochid, you cannot get the Yochid. Yochid, maybe, is what you say, what the Rov are thinking. To the world, but if you look at the Tzibur Yudi in a shul, in a country, in a city, if the Tzibur is being heard, there's no Sofek Pikuach Nefesh. It's definitely allowed to. So, Corona, I don't know if you're allowed to eat or not allowed to eat. The Shiurim. There's no Ilalcha Shiurim. There's definitely. Even Sofek Pikuach Nefesh, you say that you have to eat Pochot in a Shiur because it's Sofek Pikuach Nefesh. And today you will be able, in the Tzibur, everybody will be allowed to eat. It's not Yechidim, you look at the Tzibur. That's the Chiddush that I came out from Milchama Tadid. Am I right? Am I wrong? I'm not so sure. That's one thing that I want to learn. Okay. What is, and let's turn to page number 36. What kind of a mazik am I? I found, I don't know exactly are you a mazik when are you hurt somebody through being next to a person who is sick with the coronavirus. But I try to take some examples from other sicknesses. Somebody was sick with AIDS. And the question is, and somehow he had a relationship with another person. Is he a roidef? Or, I'm just saying, what is it? So, you can see here, Rav Alperin from Asia, Dr. Mordechai Alperin, I don't think he learned in this yeshiva. He learned in Tels, in Mir. Do you know Rav Alperin? Yeah, so. So he claims from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that actually you, how do you do that? You're not doing a Purat Ezek. In a mazik at a time, you're a mazik with a gun. You're a mazik with a hit, if you hit somebody. To be mazik through breathing over someone, is breathing considered also a mazik? What did you do? You breathe on somebody. That's what Corona is, I think. Now, for this, I need to ask Rabbi Tendler what it is. But what is Corona? Is that the part of the mazik? Is, if you breathe on somebody, is it considered you are a mazik? What did you do? It's a grammar. Maybe? Go ahead.
It's a grammar.
But in AIDS, it's a little bit maybe different because you had a relationship. So you were giving him, you touched him. Touching is, he calls it a roidev. Is it a roidev? Because you gave him the sakon, that's how he decided he's a god. I don't know. Is it ash? If I was... causing a grammar to somebody, causing that sickness to someone, and later on the someone was getting someone else, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth person. What kind of a sickness is it? Yeah, go ahead.
There's a question whether we consider something like this as a shein and nika, because you can see the symptoms, but you can't see the actual thing that's causing the hazard.
So it's very nika, but the as a shein and nika. The puras and nezek is not ezek, but it's nika to what the totzo is nika, and achinami. So, but still, if you have ash, it's considered that you did it. Is it you did it or somebody else did it? I'm not talking about it from a Shabbos point of view, from a neziki point of view. What did you want to say?
No, it's right. If someone's intentionally doing so, it's pashut to be considered a raidev. You don't have these panam by raidev. There has to be dafka b'chayil. If someone is intentionally doing so or negligently doing so, and that suffices to consider him a raidev, it's partially he would be considered a raidev. If it doesn't mean if he's trying to breathe on you, raidev isn't totally in the way he intends on killing you. At the very least, you would certainly have a bal harga, the hashka, and harga, which is also
is high misa for that?
If someone's intentional, if
we're talking about right. He's not doing anything. He's standing in the room, and you come in the room. You are in the same room as he is. So he's not right. The figure. The poor
right. But if we're dining on somebody who would be considered right due to his own negligence, then we would especially if we would have those things.
But if it's not him, it's a grammar. It's not right.
Why not? But we have right if we're madama right if the cases of Masira though the true with the Paiskim are madama to even Masira's.
Masira is not grammar, Masira is mama.
I'm not killing you. It's for sure more direct if I breathe on it. If Kasa Shamsam breathes on someone kills him, it's certainly.
Is breathing an act of Ezek? Breathing, I am chuv to breathe for myself.
You're directly causing someone's death. That's definitely a case of right.
Not sure. No. Okay, I hear you. What?
Kavana to be a raidev. Mitzias. If a person is in danger of someone else, they're a raidev. A baby is a raidev. They're not mechaving. Mitzias is a raidev. Mitzias.
So what's the?
Not kavana. You don't need kavana to be a raidev. You need kavana to be a raidev. You need kavana to be a raidev.
No.
But
if you are a raidev, you're fine. But if you are a raidev, but question I'll ask myself all of it.
And do I have to pay for it later on? Do I have to pay for all this medical treatment?
Well, paying is a different
story. I'm asking, do I have to pay for the medical treatment of the second person, of the person that I was mazik? Do I have to pay?
The question of whether or not you have to determine if it's Hezeshay Nick or whether or not it's Garmi, whether or not it's Groma, that's not so yet. But if we're talking about a case where it would be legitimate to call him a raidev because of his intentionality, because he'd be negligent, because we can't assume he's a shaygeng well, then...
Everybody's a choice. Nobody realizes that he is going to be. He's not doing it on purpose. He's coming to shul because he wants to daven, and he meets another person there in shul. So he's not. You have to understand. He's not roided to kill him. But automatically you say he's killing him. Without kavona. Okay, what do you want to say?
I don't understand the Messias that you necessarily die on account of having HIV. To me, it seems more likely that you would be required to give him the money for the festival case that's going to be involved in staying alive with HIV. Someone with HIV doesn't have to die.
Today. Okay. What I'm trying to... this case was written, I assume, I didn't say the date, but was written few years ago, when the public didn't have the cure for AIDS, I assume. Today, when he wrote it, today probably you are right. Today it's only a monetary issue,
that
sickness. But I took the AIDS as a story, and take the corona. Corona, people are dying. People are dying. Not everybody's dying. Some of them are dying from corona, some of them are infected, and probably are dying further later on. So what is corona? Let's talk about, I brought AIDS because that was the first case I found. You don't find it writing yet in Aloha about corona, but more or less the sickness is the same, in infecting other people. I assume you have to pay for some of the years. He didn't do it on purpose. In AIDS, he knows he has AIDS. Corona, by the way, many people didn't know they had the virus. They had fever. For 2 weeks they had fever, they didn't know why they had fever, they didn't know it's corona, and later on they infected other people. But still, it's a roidev. He didn't intend to be a roidev. So, are you going to kill him because of that? And by the way, some of them, after they have corona, they don't die. Are you allowed to kill her? Ba'alogach Hashem le'ogo, if he wants to kill you, here, they don't want to kill you. They just infect you with the sickness.
If he wants to kill you, the question is being negligent about it. You don't have to actually literally want your death. As long as you ask him to leave, there's an assumption. If he's not a shogi, you can just tell him. If you don't have the fact that he's a shogi, you can just tell him, then who cares if he, desires? The question is desire, right? If he's not telling what he ultimately desires, right?
So I still don't understand. You're not sure he's going to die. You have the din of roidev. I'm not sure I'm going to, because he's not going to kill.
Yes.
Even the son, because he knows he comes with a hammer or with a gun to kill him. You see a guy with a Uzi, you know he's going to kill you. He wants to kill you. And the guy comes with a knife on Shabbos or not on Shabbos, he comes to stab you, you know he's going to kill you. But here, is that the chances are that probably you won't die from that. Probably you'll be sick, but not die. If you talk about individual, pikuach nefesh, it's suffer pikuach nefesh, suffer for the yochid. Talk to him, Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman says, it's not tzibu, it's just a yochid. He didn't infect 10 people here. I'm not sure. Right, so it won't be. Then you have to pay the money. Is it that sickness that he affected this person B? Does he have to pay for all Sheves, Refuah?
It's a different
sugya. Yeah, but it's part of the same sugya. It's not right there, but still. Is it? What did he do? Is he Esh? Is it Esh? If it's Esh, he has to pay. If it's not Esh, Rosh Hashanah, he doesn't have to pay. Shen or Regel, he doesn't have to pay Rosh Hashanah. So what is that sickness? What is the breathing over somebody else? What is it? That's my question. Now, the question that I ask, I don't have an answer yet, is he allowed to work on Shabbos for that? The Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh for a goy, is Pikuach Nefesh too? Because most of the people are going to use it, if we go again statistically, most of the people are going to use this mask are goy. Is he allowed to work for a goy? Is that Pikuach Nefesh? Something Pikuach Nefesh for a goy?
Yeah,
I don't know. I just asked the question. The Shaila. I know that in Meir Shorim, there was a goy that got sick and fell and lost breathing, and they didn't want to call the ambulance. Call for goy, didn't want to call. Again, Shaila. Shum Eva, there they're not worried about Eva. So what do you do? So are you allowed to have the Shabbos, have it open? It's not from matter of money, from a get of Pikuach Nefesh. Is it considered Pikuach Nefesh? And who to give it to? Well, this I'll finish. They didn't know who to give it to. To give it to the Jew, give it to the ladies, give it to the Kohanim. So they decided to have a Goyral. Sugoralas to give the mask to give Sugoralas. That's the. They didn't know what to do, they just didn't know how to handle it. That's the chiyuv. And to notify, people should notify, like shiduchim. In a shiduchim, do you have to notify the person that somebody has a sickness or has some gam in the ichus, has a mum? You have to be notified. I assume if somebody has cancer, God forbid, he has to notify the other part, the other group that are going to be Meshadet, Shatron, you have to notify. If you notify, you're either on all those issues that are. I don't want to say not the Lechachim, not necessarily, but you have to notify. Therefore, that's the Chofetz Chaim says in the Shidduchim. So the same thing here. If you are sickness, if you are sick, you do need to notify. Thank you very much. I appreciate you listening. Thank you very much. Hopefully, if you disagree with me, I would like you to hear from you, to write back to me. I will try to send some sforim to you for you to see what I'm writing all about, and hopefully you will enjoy it as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Yeah.